tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Stay tuned for Disability Beat coming up next. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Peter Patton, coordinator of the Self-Help Center for Family Service of Champaign County. And he's going to be talking about an upcoming conference and lots of other stuff. But first, disability news for the week of April 8th, 2019. Recent outcry over a proposal to end federal funding for Special Olympics is helping put the spotlight on other potentially devastating cuts to programs for people with disabilities, according to advocates. Last week, President Donald Trump said he would rescind a $17.6 million cut to Special Olympics from his proposed budget to Congress, but his $4.75 trillion spending plan still calls for cuts to Medicaid and eliminating current funding for autism training and research, as well as employment support for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Julie Ward, Deputy Executive Officer for Public Policy at the ARC, said of the proposed budget, quote, "It's a threat to people's health insurance and also the community supports that they depend on. It's alarming for us to see the zeroing out of programs we care about or cuts to programs that are important to the developmental disability community," end quote. The proposal, which was released last month, calls for large cuts and structural changes to Medicaid. In Trump's plan, the federal government would provide a fixed amount of money to states each year for Medicaid services rather than sending matching grants to states to cover what services are needed. The budget also calls for completely wiping out existing funding of $51 million to the Health Resources and Services Administration for Autism and Developmental Disorders, which pays for interdisciplinary training of health professionals and research to develop evidence-based services authorized under the Autism CARES Act. In another proposed elimination of all funding, Trump's plan would slash $23 million from the U.S. Department of Education's Rehab Services Administration for supported employment state grants, which aim to boost workforce participation by people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The funds pay for services once an employee has been placed and also help people with the most significant disabilities find work. According to a compilation by the ARC, other proposed cuts include a $1 million or 25% cut to the Lifespan Respite Care Act, a $20 million or 26% cut to state councils on developmental disabilities, and a $44 million or 28% cut to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities. While advocates are concerned about the proposed, they say the uproar over the Special Olympics cut has given them a prime opportunity to inform lawmakers and the public while disability funding has been fresh in the news cycle and on social media. Advocates are asking stakeholders to discuss the importance of funding programs that are at risk with their lawmakers, who have until October 1st to pass spending legislation for the next fiscal year. After a successful pilot in Massachusetts, Dell Technologies is expanding its autism hiring program to Central Texas. The tech giant, which launched the program last April, offers 2 weeks of training ahead of a 12-week summer internship for adults with autism spectrum disorder. In some cases, those internships turn into full-time jobs, according to Lou Candelio, Dell's military and disability recruiting program lead. Last year, 12 adults went through the training at Dell's Hopkinton, Massachusetts campus. Following the training, two summer interns were hired as full-time employees, and the company is in the process of hiring a third candidate. Candelio said Dell has big goals for the future of the program with expectations to expand it globally. The company's push to train and hire adults with autism is part of Dell's broader effort to focus on diversity in its workforce. But don't expect Dell to immediately grow the program. Leaders agreed they're trying to take it slow so that they can build a framework for it. Following the 12-week internship program, participants are evaluated and can potentially move to a full-time job at Dell. The new hires or interns can be in jobs ranging from decision science, robotic press automation, process automation, software engineer, and business operations, according to the company. The ARC of the Capital Area, an organization that works with Central Texans with intellectual and developmental disabilities, is working with Dell to screen candidates and launch the program. The group will continue working with those who are not selected for positions at Dell to find other employment. Allison Abramo, director of the ARC Supported Employment Program, said Dell's program is unique in the area and among big corporations. Abramo said, quote, I think they're a leader in the space in Texas, at least in Austin. They're really putting in a lot of effort into opening up their application process to people who are neurodiverse, end quote. The organization screens candidates to determine their skills and experience for the two-week training program, which includes meeting with job coaches, hiring managers, and working on real-world projects. Abramo said the training period is also a skills assessment, which is helpful to candidates who need more dynamic interview process to show off their skills to hiring managers. About 15 candidates have applied so far, Abramo said. The training will start on April 29th. Abramo said she hopes the program will continue on a yearly basis with Dell and eventually expand to other companies. And finally, airlines damage at least 701 wheelchairs and motorized scooters in a single month, an average of more than 25 a day, according to the first such data reported by the U.S. Department of Transportation under a new law championed by Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois. The numbers Duckworth's office announced late last week show the nationwide scope of the problem for the first time and also gives travelers a sense of which airlines were the worst offenders during that time period. The airlines that reported the largest percentage of wheelchairs mishandled in December were Envoy Air, a regional carrier for American Airlines, with 14.6%, American Airlines with 7.2%, and Southwest Airlines with 6.4%. Former President Barack Obama's administration first proposed a rule requiring airlines to provide the Department of Transportation with monthly reports on how many wheelchairs and motorized scooters they break or mishandle. But President Donald Trump's administration delayed the rule's implementation in March 2017. Duckworth responded by authoring an amendment that required the Department of Transportation to implement the rule within 60 days. The amendment was included in the Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Act and became law in October of 2018. In response, airlines say they're working on improving the travel experience for customers who use wheelchairs or scooters. And that's the news for this week. I like that you're broken like me. Maybe that makes me a fool. And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and this is Disability Beat. And I have sitting across from me here in the studio, Peter Patton, who is the coordinator of the Self-Help Center, brand new coordinator. of the self-help center. Yeah,
just started the end of February, so.
Yeah, and so I contacted Peter. I know they've got a conference coming up that they do every other year, and so anxious to hear about it, Peter. But first of all, introduce yourself. Let the listeners know a little bit about who you are, and also give us some information about Family Service of Champaign County and the Self-Help Center, and then we'll get into the details of the conference.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I actually grew up in Mahomet, Illinois. And I've kind of done a little bit of everything. I was a high school teacher for a while. Then I was a professor. I taught here at the University of Illinois as a visiting lecturer. Then I was assistant professor at the University of Toledo for about 6-7 years. Then what's really funny, I came back to this area because my son was growing up here, and I ended up getting a job as the crisis line supervisor when it used to be Provena Behavioral Health, and that kind of kicked me into the mental health system. So, like I said, I just started in February at Family Services, and then I also have a private practice where I'm a therapist.
So you're a busy guy doing a lot of stuff, have your finger in a lot of pies, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. I've tried to retire twice, but it just didn't work out for me. I get really bored, so I'm always once more into the breach, I guess.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what Family Services does, what Family Services of Champaign County is all about.
Well, you know what surprised me? Before I got the job, I didn't realize that in one form or another, it's been around for over 100 years.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Which just really surprised me. But we have a lot of different things that we kind of deal with. We have adult senior protective services. We have the Children First program. That's when people get divorced and they need to take a class so they can at least try to be civil to each other and not wreck their children in the process. We have counseling services. We have family caregiver support, which I think it is really important. I know my mother suffered a stroke when she was 52, and we brought her home and took care of her. And it's really rough on caregivers. They really need a break and some training. Then we have grandparents raising grandchildren. We have a home care program where they actually hire and train home caregivers that you can get. Then we have Meals on Wheels, which is an important program.
I know everyone knows that program. That's been around for a long time and very valued, I know.
Yeah, and I was really worried at one point it was going to disappear, mm-hmm. but fortunately it still exists. Then we have a retired and senior volunteer program. Of course, I work at the Self-Help Center. What I'm a clearinghouse for support groups, classes, people will call it, and I've got a book that probably has hundreds of resources. So people can call me. I'll try to match them up with either a class, a support group. If people would like to start a support group, they could get a hold of me. I know we were talking earlier that I have a client that wanted to join a group for adults with ADHD, and there's simply nothing here. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to talk him into starting one, which I'd be more than happy to help anybody who wanted to do that. Then, of course, a large thing I do is I plan this conference, although this year I'll have to admit that Laura Lee, my predecessor, did most of it. So it's kind of nice. Then we also have senior information hotline, senior transportation. So we have a lot of services that they do.
Yeah, and are these services provided to anybody who walks in, or do they have a cost to them?
You know, most of them are free of charge. There may be some that has a cost to it. You know,
if you're going to get support in your home for
I think a lot of that is covered. But like I said, I'm new to the program. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of learning the system. I know a lot that I've looked at is free of charge. People just have to call in, see if they meet the criteria. If there is a charge, they'll be told up front.
It sounds to me like if you feel like you have a need for some kind of support, and you're not, you know, maybe not even sure what that is, it might be worth time calling Family Services and just kind of explaining where you are in your life, and they might be able to suggest. Is that something that they do on a regular basis?
Definitely. That's mainly what my job is. I mean, I don't know if you remember, there used to be a pamphlet was called First Call for people. They could, you know, if they say like, oh, my father suffering from Alzheimer's, where can I get help? You can look that up. Well, that went away because of lack of funding. So I sort of, the position I'm in kind of fills in that. I'm just an information source. I mean, it covers everything from dealing with people with disabilities, how to care for seniors, you name it. I usually have a program that I can recommend.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about the self-help center too, because I think that there are a lot of groups that are out there that are supported by your organization that really are doing great things as well.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, I put out a newsletter that if you have a new group, you can send me the information. I will post it. When people are having new programs or classes, they'll send it to me, and I have a resource list of like almost 700 people and organizations that I can send the information out. So it's something we definitely need here, because I think with a lot of government services being cut back and stuff like that, the community has really stepped up, and especially at the University of Illinois, the amount of services that are out there, I think, are probably exceptional compared to a lot of towns.
We're very lucky. I know that at the Disability Resource Expo, was a couple weeks ago now, a woman came up to me who lives in Vermilion County, and she says, you know, we really don't have near the resources in our community that you guys have here. So in many respects, I think we are very, very fortunate, for sure.
Yeah, I know I used to do a lot of work for Choices when it was here, and I used to live in Hoopston, and I got a lot of clients up there simply because nobody else would go. Nobody lived in the area, and I know my boss at my other job lives in Cisna Park, and she got some clients up there, and I know they were just so happy to have us, because otherwise there would be no services for these children and their families.
Right. So if somebody is out there listening and they're very interested in starting a support group of some kind, now you're not going to do it for them, but you will provide resources and connections for them to do that. Who do they email or call? What's the best way to get a hold of you, Peter?
Well, really, there's two ways. You can call me at 217-352-099 and just ask for the self-help center, and I can
now
help you there.
352-0099 Yeah. I didn't hear the second zero, okay. So I thought, wait, there was a digit missing there.
Yeah, so I probably sped through it. Or you can email me, and it's ppatton, that's P-A-T-T-O-N, at familyservicecc.org.
Okay, and we'll try and give that information at the end of the program, too, just in case people didn't have pens in their hands when you were giving it the first time. So let's talk a little bit of the about the conference that you have coming up. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called Collaboration in Times of Need. Like I said, when we used to have the old wraparound programs around here, is that if you encountered a problem with a family, you could attack it from multiple sources. I mean, if they need mental health services, you could find something. If they needed financial aid, you could find something. This is kind of like a lot of these agencies and support groups can kind of collaborate together to, you know, help individuals. And I think the nice thing is that usually most problems just aren't one-sided. They're kind of multifaceted. And that's what's really nice about collaboration. And a lot of times I've learned things that I simply didn't know. It's like I'm getting a free education now, because we, like I said, we have a lot of resources here.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about what the time, the place, the date, all that business, and then we'll get into the topics and speakers.
Okay, it's going to be May 3rd. It's going to be at the Round Barn Center in Champaign. It's going to run from 8:15 in the morning to 3:15 in the afternoon. And it's basically designed for professionals who are either running support groups or part of support groups who would like to start one, or lay people who simply are in a support group, or maybe it's just somebody they're interested in finding more information. So that's sort of how, you know, what this is set up for.
Is it mainly people who are involved in support groups in the mental health field, or is there more diversity?
It's really a big variety. I know we also have vendors and exhibitors there, and they're everything from, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, there's Pace is going to be there, and I know
the Center for Independent Living here in Champaign-Urbana,
and then VA is going to set up a booth. So really a lot of these people that I'm getting contacted through the register are work at these different agencies.
So quite a variety then. And collaboration, I mean, that kind of brings together a lot of different folks with different interests as well, because as we talked about before the show a little bit, and you can dive into this a little bit too, is that when a family has a problem, it's not necessarily something that can be addressed by one specific solution.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I even find in, you know, my private practice is that a lot of times psychiatrists might recommend that they also see a therapist simply because they have other skills that fit the needs of the person. And that's sort of what family services can do. If you call in, we can kind of fit you in where you might want to be if we can. Like I said, if there's not a resource, maybe we can help you create one.
Right, right. So let's talk about, you know, kind of go through the day with us and what people can expect if they attend the conference.
Okay, well, it's like I said, starts at 8:15. That's registration. There will be a little coffee and some, you know, different kind of breads and stuff. Then what will happen is the keynote speaker is going to be Karen Sims, who's the founder and director of Meridian K Counseling and Coaching Services. And they'll also have the address will be opened by our executive director, Cheryl. So that will take up most of the morning. Then there'll be a lunch. Then
now, what is her topic going to be?
It's basically a collaboration among different providers in the area. She's done a lot of work with people who are basically had trouble getting to the system that you, you know, might consider low income, that are a lot of times excluded simply because they don't have the information. And she's been really a champion for those people.
So that's going to take up the majority of the morning.
Correct.
Okay.
And then we have breakout sessions, and you can kind of pick which ones you want to go to because they're all going to kind of occur at the same time. There's basically four of them that are going to go on. Session one is Faith Communities and Collaboration, and that's going to be by Reverend Dr. Cheryl Palmer from the Faith United Methodist Church. Session two is going to be Culturally Responsive Collaboration by Sandra Summerhill. She's a cultural and linguistics competence coordinator at Champaign County Mental Health.
Yes, I know Sandra well. She's a great, great person.
Yeah, and she's a great speaker too. So then session three is going to be Collaboration in Times of Crisis with Lieutenant Joel Sanders of the Urbana Police Department. And then session four is going to be Successful Collaboration in Combating the Opioid Epidemic, and that's by Ann Vermillion, founder and CEO of the Vermillion Group.
Boy, it's one of those things that if you go, it's going to be really tough to pick the breakout session that you want to hear. They all sound very interesting.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. I mean, just simply, you know, the drug problem that we have with opiates is, you know, really frightening in my opinion. I unfortunately, I have some young people I know, they don't seem to be so concerned about ODing because they think, oh, some emergency personnel is going to, you know, hit me with the Narcan pen and I'm going to be just fine. And I find that a very frightening viewpoint.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, young people think they're going to live forever anyway, so that's just one more support to that theory, I suppose. But
definitely.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that there's a cost, but unfortunately the FCC doesn't permit us to share the costs. But knowing that there probably is one, where can people go to register? Is there an online registration for this?
Yeah, if you go to our website, Family Services website, and then you click on the self-help center, it'll take you to our site. You'll notice that in red letters there's a collaboration in times of need. Well, if you click on that, it'll take you to Eventbrite and you can register.
Oh, okay.
And then also you can contact me We'll give those numbers out again, and then I can send you the registration form, or you can come by the office and I can give it to you, our pamphlet.
Yeah, and the office is located right on State Street, if
yes,
I'm
recalling. Yes, 405 mm-hmm. South State is across from the Champaign Public Library.
Yeah, and the nice thing about Eventbrite, too, is if you've ever bought a ticket on Eventbrite, it automatically populates the registration for you. So that's kind of a cool feature as well.
Yeah, it is nice. And that also will kind of explain the conference, the speakers, the schedule, and things like that.
Yeah, you said there are going to be some exhibitors there as well, right? Mm-hmm. You know who and how many?
Well, like I said, right, I have 26 total. I think I'm up to 12 or 13 now. And like I said, PACE is going to be there, the VA, Molina Healthcare, I believe, has contacted me. We're still kind of setting that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of private practice counselors that are coming. So it's, I know when I was leaving, I had like 8 came in that I really hadn't had a chance to look at before I left for the day. So
yeah, well, it's kind of on the mantle of what Family Services does anyway,
mm-hmm.
but it's like come and hear and meet people and learn and, you know, expand your horizons a little bit by being with us for the day.
Yeah, definitely. And I, like I said, I'm looking forward to going to it. I'm kind of glad I get to go for free because usually I have to pay for this stuff. So it's going to be really nice.
Yeah, it's a benefit of taking the job.
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Okay, very good. So why don't we give the contact information one more time for people who are looking for more information about all of the things that you've spoken to today.
Okay, again, the phone number of the Self-Help Center is, and I'll go slowly this time.
Good, yeah.
It's 217-352-0099. And I'm usually there from 8 to 12. So you can call me, you can leave a voicemail, and I'll get back a hold of you with the information. Then you can also email me, and my email is ppatton, that's P-A-T-T-O-N, at familyservicecc, that's all one word, .org. So it's ppatton at familyservicescc.org.
Great. And is there anything else we need to know about this conference before we close the show today?
If people are vendors, they can actually show up at 7 o'clock in the morning and start setting up. So, and they'll be in and around the main conference area, so they'll be very easy to access and get a lot of information too.
Yeah, and bring your whatever ballpoint pens, and people pick up those little things, and it makes the day better, right?
Oh, definitely.
You walk away with your swag, and everyone's happy.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Peter Patton of Family Service of Champaign County, the director of the, or coordinator, excuse me, of the Self-Help Center. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
So if you have contributed to WEFT during our pledge drive last week, please, thank you for that. If you have not yet had an opportunity to do so, you can do that right now by going to your computer and going to weft.org/support. Every little bit helps. It's very much appreciated, and it helps keep WEFT on the air. So let's close the show the way we usually do. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email me, I'm Vicki, at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.
No, I'll stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Stand my ground. this one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stay.